This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 21st. I'm Jeff Foster. Coming up, the Environment Report's Rebecca Williams will discuss the debate over who regulates big farms and the pollution that comes with them. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Illinois senior senator says legislation under consideration in Washington will strengthen the rights of veterans suffering from traumatic brain injuries. Dick Durbin yesterday met with the family of Sergeant Garrett Anderson, the Champaign resident and National Guard veteran, suffered a brain injury, lost part of one arm and some of his hearing while serving in Iraq. He spent 7 months at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Durbin says provisions he's added to the Wounded Warriors Act will not only call for better diagnosis and treatment, but to monitor the progress of an injured veteran.
We assign case managers or advocates to the soldiers who will work with them. You know, many times the soldiers, if they don't have someone like Sam by their side who has good legal skills and really cares, are by themselves. I mean, and they may have parents there who are shy or really don't understand the system.
Sam is Sam Anderson, Garrett's wife, who's also a law student. The Andersons had to appeal their case to the Veterans Administration when it claimed some of his wounds were non-service related. Only recently did Garrett receive his 100% disability rating. He says it's simply a matter of being recognized.
I served my country, and I didn't give the ultimate sacrifice, but I did give a great sacrifice, and to be, you know, not really reimbursed, but, yeah, acknowledged for, you know, what I gave and for my country to back me up the way I back my country up is very important.
Anderson says he's met Vietnam veterans who probably didn't receive the care they were entitled to for 20 years. Senators approved the Wounded Warriors Act last month. The House will consider the bill in September. Two neighbors to a proposed water treatment plant west of Champaign now plan to fight it in court. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Roger Armstrong and Tom Fiedler are filing a civil suit over an annexation agreement the city's entering with Illinois American Water. The utility wants to build a new plant well outside Champaign city limits. Armstrong believes the city misused a recent court decision that lets cities annex property that's not right next to the city's border. He says opponents also are simply ignored.
We didn't have any standing, both the residents, and we had a number of people who objected and filed complaints, but the city staff refused to even show that to the city council. They took their vote before they'd even had a chance to look at any of our arguments, so clearly this was a preordained decision that had been taken.
Champaign City Attorney Fred Stavens says he's not seen the suit yet, but he defends the way the council acted on the issue.
They've certainly had ample opportunities and different forums to speak, and I believe the city council, as always, takes what's said before them very seriously.
The suit also claims the city engaged in spot zoning or rezoning land for the benefit of one owner, even if its use clashes with the area around it. Stavens believes the city interpreted the law correctly. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Illinois is in its third week without a state budget. All eyes are on Governor Rob Blagojevich, who has yet to take action. Sean Crawford explains.
Blagojevich announced last week he would cut about $500 million from the spending plan that's on his desk. That move would allow the rest of the budget to take effect, providing spending authority so the state could pay schools, employees, and social service providers. But as of now, all are still waiting on the governor to act. Blagojevich has indicated he'll take out what he calls pork projects and other money to help cover the cost of health care expansion. Blagojevich bristled when asked if he was simply ignoring the wishes of lawmakers who have opposed his efforts.
It's doing the best you can when you can't get the legislature to pass it, and it's taking another option that's available to achieve the same result.
But many question if the state can afford those changes or whether Illinois should move further toward Blagojevich's plan for universal health care. The budget lawmakers approved provides a big boost to schools, but little new money for other areas. Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines, who's been critical of his fellow Democrat Blagojevich, points out the governor's delay has now caused the state to miss a second aid payment to school districts. I'm Sean Crawford.
A judge yesterday sentenced a former Champaign track coach believed to be hiding in his native Russia to 12 years in prison after his conviction of sexually assaulting a student. Prosecutors say Yuri Ermakov fled after his July 12th conviction in Champaign. He's believed to still be in Russia. Ermakov was an assistant track coach at University High School. He was convicted of criminal sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl he dated for several months. He also was convicted of contributing to the delinquency of a minor for providing alcohol to two girls who were students at the school. Ermakov was free on $15,000 bond when he was convicted. He attended his trial until the judge called for a break just before the verdict was to be announced. Officials have said Ermakov caught a flight from Indianapolis to New Jersey and eventually found his way to Russia. Some Indiana counties are looking to charge convicted sex offenders an annual fee to register their addresses as required under state law. Supporters of the fees say they would provide police agencies with much-needed money, while critics say they could discourage some offenders from registering. The sheriffs in St. Joseph County, which includes South Bend, and Bartholomew County, which includes Columbus, are among those considering the fees. They say a $50 annual charge and a $5 charge for an address change would only cover a portion of the costs their departments face to process the registrations and track offenders. The ACLU of Indiana questions whether such fees are constitutional. Indiana's State Fair managed to attract nearly 750,000 visitors this year, despite a heat wave that kept attendance below last year's impressive turnout. Even with the heat and humidity, the preliminary total beats the 18-year average attendance of just under 724,000. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Big livestock operations can raise thousands of cows, chickens, or pigs under one roof. It helps keep the price of food lower. But neighbors complain the government's not doing a good enough job of monitoring the pollution these farms produce. Rebecca Williams reports there's a debate heating up in several states over who should be regulating these big farms.
The days of small farms with different kinds of livestock grazing in the pasture are fading from the landscape. They're being replaced by farms that specialize in one kind of animal and raise thousands of them. They're called concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. There are battles in several states right now over who should be keeping an eye on the CAFOs. Usually, the state departments of environmental protection have power under the Federal Clean Water Act to enforce laws and issue permits. But in the Midwest, in states such as Ohio and Michigan, and in the West, in states such as Oregon and Idaho, some lawmakers are working to give that oversight power to the state agriculture departments. Jerry Van Workum is a Republican state senator in Michigan. Right now, the State Department of Environmental Quality, or DEQ, has the oversight powers. But Senator Van Workum is sponsoring a package of bills that would put most of the state's big livestock farms under the Department of Agriculture.
Those people tend to be supportive, and they come with an attitude of we're going to try to work together to solve this problem. Whereas when they work with the DEQ, the attitude is more like, we're coming with a hammer, and if we find anything you've done that's out of line, we're going to whop you with it.
The CAFOs are in the spotlight because they can produce tens of thousands of gallons of urine and manure each day. That liquefied manure is eventually spread onto farm fields. The Environmental Protection Agency says that waste can wash from fields into streams and creeks. That can cause fish kills. Animal waste has also gotten into drinking water and made people sick. Lynn Henning runs a small farm. She says there are 13 CAFOs within a 10-mile radius of her Michigan farmhouse. She says the manure odors are overwhelming.
We can't hang laundry when the emissions are in the air. We have severe fly outbreaks. We have family farmers that have been diagnosed with hydrogen sulfide poisoning from the emissions from the CAFOs.
Henning says the current oversight system is weak. She says the Department of Environmental Quality doesn't have enough funding to monitor the CAFOs, so that job often falls to residents like her. She says putting the Department of Agriculture in charge of oversight would make the problems even worse.
The MDA has no enforcement authority, and they promote agriculture in Michigan. It's like putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop. You can't give authority to punish to an agency that's promoting.
But it could become a wider trend if the states that are proposing the switch now actually make it happen. Carla Rettig is an attorney with the Environmental Integrity Project. It's a group that's been critical of weakening environmental laws. She's been tracking trends in enforcement of livestock farms.
I think the Farm Bureau and other really large industry advocates are seeing a chance to get regulation that is perhaps more cooperative, less regulatory, and less on the enforcement side. It isn't totally nefarious, but I think it could have outcomes that are not anticipated.
Rettig says you have to wonder what will happen without the threat of enforcement from an environmental agency. But Senator Jerry Van Workum from Michigan argues that farmers are more likely to do the right thing if they're overseen by a friendlier agency, as he proposes.
I mean, you're not able to cover up problems that happen. It gets in the newspaper. People know when problems happen. But I believe that the Agriculture Department will work with people, especially if people are getting a bad reputation. I think that they will work with them. And if those people do get out of line, it's back to DEQ.
Environmentalists and small farmers are worried about the idea of states handing off oversight of CAFOs from their environmental watchdog agencies to their agencies in charge of promoting the business of agriculture. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, cloudy today, showers and thunderstorms during the morning, then intervals of clouds and hazy sunshine, very warm and humid. A few passing showers possible during the afternoon, the high 88. Mostly cloudy tonight, humid, a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm, the low 71. Partly to mostly sunny tomorrow, hot and humid, the high 93. The afternoon heat index around 100 degrees, partly cloudy, muggy, tomorrow evening, the low 71. For Thursday, hazy sunshine, hot and humid, the high 93 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.